As Mrs. Jane Doe opens her email inbox, she sees yet another message from the pastor, who has been counseling her through her depression. She reads it and notices again that the pastor's wife isn't copied on the email. Their communication has become increasingly private and personal.
What? Oh, I truly appreciate everything he's done for me and how much he's been there. But he keeps forgetting to include his wife in our conversations.
Several weeks later, she receives another email and begins to read it. To her shock, this pastor confesses his love for her and says he wants to leave his wife of 20 years to marry her.
Oh, Jane, every conversation we've had has shown me just how deeply we connect, how easy it is to open up to you in ways I haven't with anyone else. I find myself drawn to your compassion, your wisdom. It's like God brought us together for a reason, a purpose, beyond what I can understand right now. I know this isn't typical, but there's something undeniable between us. It's more than just friendship. I can't help but feel that we were meant to be in each other's lives, that maybe this is what I've been searching for all along. Lately, I've even started wondering if I was supposed to marry you instead, if I missed God's plan somewhere along the way. It's hard to admit, but maybe this is what's meant to be. Maybe this is the relationship I was truly meant to have.
Maybe this is the relationship I was truly meant to have.
Though horrified, she also longs for the kind of attention he offers. Though she realizes this is entirely wrong before God, she has grown attached to this man through the counseling sessions. Her hands hover over the keyboard as she contemplates what to do.
Is that a true story? Sadly, yes. I've heard of at least two instances where something similar has unfolded. How did it escalate to such a point? The progression is often subtle. By this stage, the man has already developed a deep emotional attachment. He's had an emotional affair, a bond that has crossed the boundaries. He desires to now take this emotional oneness further into physical oneness. But he realizes his wife stands as an obstacle to this illicit desire. Imagine a torpedo silently gliding beneath the surface of the water, undetected by radar. At first, it doesn't seem like a threat because it's hidden, it's unseen. But beneath the calm surface, it's moving closer and closer to its target. Once it makes impact, the destruction is immediate and irreversible. This is much like the emotional affair that has developed in this man's heart. On the surface, everything may appear fine, perhaps even to his wife and others around him. However, underneath the exterior, a dangerous emotional connection has already been established, drawing him further away from his marriage. Like the torpedo, the affair may seem harmless in the beginning because it's hidden, and it doesn't bother the conscience in the same way as physical adultery would. But when it comes to light, the damage is often severe, either sinking the ship or leaving a massive gash in the hole that is difficult to heal. And this doesn't even begin to address the harm it causes the church and the way it leads God's name being dishonored among those who don't believe. One pastor wrote on this, highlighting the terrifyingly subtle ways that an emotional affair can start to develop.
When meeting one woman for our third counseling appointment in what seemed like just a moment, I realized that she was inappropriately interested in me. What was frightening is that I also realized I had subconsciously sensed this before, but had enjoyed her attraction to me too much to address the problem. And who's to say I hadn't sent off signals of my own? Certainly I hadn't said anything to discourage hers. Since I was not yet emotionally involved or giving her inappropriate attention, I was tempted to rationalize and dismiss it as unimportant, knowing, of course, that I would never get involved with her. Famous last words, since every affair begins with the harmless. When the light cut through my clouded thinking and I realized that there was no way I should be meeting with her, I sent her to a female counselor. God knows, and I do not want to, what might have happened if I'd allowed the situation to continue unchecked. What was frightening is that I also realized I had subconsciously sensed this before but had enjoyed her attraction to me too much to address the problem. And who's to say I hadn't sent off signals of my own? Certainly I hadn't said anything to discourage hers.
Now that we've been warned about how subtle this can be, let us once again consider those who've fallen into emotional adultery. They likely justified and excused it, believing it wasn't that big of a deal. So what if we're doing the same thing in our own lives? Emotional adultery started when the man had a conversation with her, then another, then the talks went too deep, then this created an attachment, and it grew up. It grew with a follow-up conversation, a text, an email. The pastor's spouse wasn't included in these conversations, and the relationship became personal and private, sharing things they wouldn't have if the wife had known about what they were talking about, if they justified it by claiming their talks were purely spiritual. After all, he's just fulfilling his role as a pastor, right? He's loving the sheep for whom Christ died. But aren't we emotional beings, one will say, meant to show love to others as Christ loved the church? Yes. Yes, we are. But that doesn't mean there are no boundaries. When someone is emotionally unfaithful to their spouse, allowing someone else to meet their emotional needs, they've entered a dangerous place. So, does this mean I can't have a close friends and must always be guarded? That's not the point. Don't overreact. And don't underreact and miss the warning. The goal isn't to swing from one extreme to another. I want to help us stay balanced and on the right path as a Christian. Remember, purity isn't just about avoiding lustful thoughts and physical adultery, but also avoiding emotional adultery and emotional affairs. People don't just wake up one day and decide to commit physical adultery. It usually starts with small compromises. It begins in the heart. Unchecked emotional connections or innocent seemingly flirtations, it's like erosion. Over time, as a river slowly wears down stone, some lapses in emotional purity break down the barriers we've set to protect our relationships. Does your spouse's heart trust you? A husband should lead and love his wife as Christ loves the church. He's responsible for nurturing spiritual unity and deep romantic affection. Marriage is unique. I mean, two people become one, mind to mind, heart to heart. There's no other union like it, which is why it must be protected. Many believers don't even realize this issue exists, and they don't have a fully informed conscience, which is why they've often fallen into this trap without seeing its danger. Over the years, several people have emailed me saying they feel stuck in an emotional affair. It's like how someone might fall for a scam email from a fake Nigerian prince offering an inheritance. Even though the scam, I think, should be obvious, if they've never been warned about such things, to them it can almost seem like it's a blessing from God. And then they feel foolish for falling into it. So just like there's no Nigerian prince with $10 million waiting to give to you, there's also no other woman who is supposed to be your wife. You didn't accidentally marry the wrong person. Have you been unaware of the dangers of emotional affairs in your heart? If you think, well, but we don't have any physical contact, you might be trying to justify it. Adultery in the heart should never be taken lightly. Emotional affairs have destroyed marriages that were once strong, leaving a bad example to the world. Children are heartbroken when their father leaves their mother for a young secretary at work. And sometimes that workplace is the church, and families are left broken. What does the Bible say? The scriptures are very concerned with the inclinations of our hearts. In Hosea 4:12, the Lord rebuked Israel for giving their hearts to false gods. Jesus also taught that looking at someone with lustful intentions is the same thing as committing adultery. In a world that celebrates impurity and immorality, few strive for sexual purity, let alone emotional purity. Despite this, true Christians should strive for holiness in every area of our lives. Those who've been born again and given new hearts with new desires should live in righteousness. In the scriptures, a husband is commanded to love and cherish and care for his wife and to understand her, even if he isn't naturally good at communicating. He's got to make every effort to keep a deep emotional connection with her. They are not just two people living together. The Bible says they're one. A godly woman, being faithful to Christ, will remain faithful to her husband, regardless of his spiritual condition. Her pure conduct can lead her husband back to the truth, as 1 Peter 3 teaches. Even if her husband fails to meet her emotional needs, this doesn't justify her turning to another man for those needs to be met. And it doesn't excuse the husband from doing the same. What about a married couple having physical intimacy but no emotional intimacy? Paul instructs married couples to not withhold sexual relations from each other except for a mutually agreed time. Why? Because without this, they may be tempted by the devil. While Paul doesn't specifically mention emotional intimacy, I believe it's part of the whole relationship. Consider Leah's experience in Genesis 29. It says, again, she conceived and bore a son and said, now this time my husband will be attached to me because I've borne him three sons. Therefore, his name was called Levi. Now, clearly, Leah was having physical intimacy with Jacob as she bore him children, but she longed for emotional connection, saying, now this time my husband will be attached to me. She wasn't talking about physical intimacy. What is implied is she desired emotional closeness, but her husband's heart was given to another woman. Yet, in this case, it was another one of his wives. Leah's longing for emotional intimacy was valid, and her husband should have provided it. However, under the old covenant, where polygamy was common, it was harder for her to receive this kind of love. Emotional affairs are romantic attachments, not physical ones, at least not initially in most cases. It is a matter of the heart. As you appreciate this other person and you find fulfillment from the relationship, you then cross the boundary between brother and sister in Christ in a way that can only be picked up subtly in the beginning. It's often the case that a person is unaware that the way they're communicating is actually strengthening their affections for someone else. And their idolatry towards the person that is forming in their own hearts is usually hidden because they love the person so much. Acknowledging it for what it is would mean losing the person, and they dread the thought. As a result, they justify it. And after all, I mean, we're supposed to love our brethren. I mean, we're supposed to strengthen our affections for them, aren't we? So this is okay. However, their desires for this person are not ordinary. They have something inordinate about them. There is a growing romantic element in their relationship that is not neutral. If this is two single people who desire marriage, then great, get married. Yet I'm thinking primarily about those who are already married, about those who've already made a commitment to one woman and a woman to one man. Is there a root cause? Is your husband's way of communicating making it hard for you to open up to him the way you want? Do you find yourself opening up to another man who's more talkative? Okay, yes, that often happens. But this isn't the real issue. It goes so much deeper. Would you say that your satisfaction in the Lord is strong enough that you're truly content with the spouse God has given you? And you find your ultimate fulfillment not in your spouse, but in Christ? This and this alone can protect you from being tempted to be unfaithful in your heart. It ultimately doesn't matter if your spouse is an unbeliever or doesn't honor the Lord. What is truly needed is the spiritual strength that comes from Christ, Him being your great purpose in life and who you live for. Spiritual weakness can lead to costly mistakes. And sadly, many have made serious choices during moments of spiritual fatigue. Many people use their marriage troubles as an excuse for their sin, saying things like, well, if my spouse were different, I wouldn't struggle with this temptation. But a difficult marriage isn't a valid excuse for sin. The Lord promises to sustain us, to provide a way out of any temptation. No matter how hard the situation is, blaming the state of the marriage shifts responsibility away from where it truly belongs, within our own hearts and on our own selves. God calls us to find our strength in Him, not in perfect circumstances or in our spouse. Even in a dysfunctional marriage, we're still called to be faithful, trusting God to help us endure and resist temptation. Also, I don't want to downplay what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7, where he warns that if a spouse withholds physical intimacy without mutual agreement for a time for prayer, it can lead to temptation. Yes, certain behaviors from a spouse can make maintaining purity, physical or emotional, more challenging, but never impossible. So don't use that as an excuse. In the movie Fireproof, a scene shows a man at a woman's workplace flirting with her, and she responds in a positive way. And the movie, in a real clear way, shows how the unresolved issues in her marriage at home made her more vulnerable to the advances from her coworker at work, leading to an emotional affair. Are you sharing things meant only for your spouse? Do you let that person carry the deep burdens of your heart, being too open with them? Let's consider a few other circumstances that could make someone vulnerable to this kind of temptation. It's not uncommon for pastors to counsel women alone, without their spouse or another pastor present. This can lead to an emotional affair. The pastor tries to help with her deep spiritual needs, but over time, she might become attached to him, developing feelings that are inappropriate. Let's say he meets her emotional needs better than her husband does, and she offers him more praise than his wife ever does. This leads them both to feel more fulfilled in their relationship than in their marriages, creating a dangerous emotional bond that threatens not only their marriage, but their own soul and walk with Christ. Workplace evangelism can also lead to temptation. For example, a church elder holds a Bible study at work with several people, but over time, only a young female coworker continues attending. Should he continue the study or stop it? In one case, a pastor shared about a man who didn't stop the study, and eventually, the man became emotionally attached to the coworker, and it led to actual physical adultery. As we can see, emotional adultery opened the door to physical adultery. We must guard our hearts, even in good things like evangelism, to prevent inappropriate affections from forming. What about women discipling men and vice versa? Paul instructed Titus that older women should teach the younger women. He doesn't say the younger men. Why Prisca and Aquila together helped Apollos? I would just say this. I think it's very unwise for women to disciple younger men alone. One person who fell into emotional and later physical adultery had said, "I thought I could help the young man in my church." Good intentions, but going about it in a very unwise way. In multiple cases, pastors have invited young men to live in their homes in order to more closely disciple them. But at times the young man became emotionally attached to the pastor's wife. In one tragic instance, the pastor's wife became pregnant with the young man's child. How could this happen? Being naive and underestimating the power of sin. What about an age gap? You might think, well, if there's a large age gap, it doesn't matter. Don't be naive. Age doesn't have to matter because the issue isn't about physical attraction. Emotional attachment goes deeper. It's about meeting the heart's needs. Even when there's no physical attraction, maybe initially, people can still form such a strong emotional bonds that leads to an inappropriate relationship. The heart seeks connection. It seeks understanding and validation. And when these needs are met by someone outside the marriage, it can quickly lead to emotional entanglement. Many years ago, someone emailed me and said the following.
I have become emotionally attached to a married woman and find myself struggling with adultery from the moment I wake up to the moment I go to bed. As a result, I fell into a deep pit because I didn't flee from it. Rather than thinking about Jesus Christ, I think about this woman all the time. My relationship with the Lord used to be so strong, but now it's been over a half a year since I fell into this. It is always a pleasure to spend time with her, and I always think about how wonderful she is. I want to let go of all pride and be delivered.
Now brace yourself. This is from a 15-year-old who had gotten attached to a married woman in her 60s. Is that shocking? To me at the time it was, but it shouldn't have been, but I was naive. You see, the problem is a heart issue, and if two talkative personalities of the opposite gender are opening up too much, and the woman's emotional needs are met through the man's and vice versa, then no matter the age of the individuals, you can have an emotional adultery happening. Don't be naive. Sometimes the emotional attachment that forms in one of the person's hearts and the other person might not realize It might not be there. They might not even realize what's happening. At times, one party knows what's happening, but forces themselves to be in denial about reality. And yes, don't overreact and avoid deep relationships with believers in your local church, okay? But be mindful to avoid developing inappropriate affections. You might be wondering if I've got a list of 20 do's and 20 don'ts. I don't. I simply want you to be aware of these dangers and not be naive. If you walk closely with Christ, if you live by the power of the Spirit of God, you're not going to fall into this trap. What are the warning signs and how do people justify it? As already mentioned, one says, well, we don't have physical contact. However, you're minimizing the Bible's view of sin. This is a matter of the heart. Remember how lust in the heart is adultery. Another says, Christ says we're to love one another. And perhaps you justify it under the banner of love and care for a brother or sister in Christ. As you try to calm the conscience, you say, oh, we're just talking about spiritual things. If you feel convicted but find reasons to justify this friendship, beware. That is often a clear sign that something is amiss. So ask yourself, if you're a believer, and specifically if you're married, have you ever noticed that someone seems inappropriately interested in you? It's important to proceed with caution, not with a dismissive attitude. Have you ever felt sad when someone was absent from church and that someone was a person of the opposite gender as you and they're not your spouse? Do you enjoy the group of people mainly because of this person and that of a married person? Are your text messages with someone of the opposite gender deep and personal and their spouse is totally left out? I'm telling you, this back and forth, private communication, it starts happening and eventually one says to the other the dreadful words, you understand my heart like no one else. You know what they're stating? They're stating, I'm discontent with my spouse and I like you more than them. If you hide something and your conscience isn't clear, you're putting yourself in a position to fall further into sin. As King David's initial refusal to go to war led to all those terrible consequences, one sin leads to another. So do you have an ongoing relationship with someone who's not your wife, and your wife is unaware of it? Oh, no physical adultery, sure, nothing physical. Emotional affair, emotional adultery? Or maybe your spouse knows, but they're naive and they think it doesn't matter. The darkness of sin can blind us. To put a healthy fear in you and in myself, let me share where all of this often ends up. It's what we saw at the start of the video. There have been several instances in modern days and in church history of those involved in emotional adultery, and they all came to the same conclusion. They thought they had a word from God. They thought it was God's will that their spouse would die, or when their spouse died, that they would then get married to this person. One older person even told the younger person, he said that, you know what, my wife's side of the family, they tend to die younger, so just wait. Once she dies, then we can get married. Isn't that incredible? That's the deceitfulness of sin. The man's trying to think, well, let's try to, how can we get it to be honorable? Because if this is God's will, God's going to have to do something to make it honorable. No, no, no. That is a disgusting, perverted reality. This story echoes King David's sin in some way when he arranged for Bathsheba's husband to die in battle to cover up that she was pregnant. It's unthinkable that a man of God would do such a thing. But as one pastor said, your sin will take you further than you ever thought you would go. Your sin will keep you longer than you ever thought you would stay. And your sin will cost you more than you ever thought you would pay. Yet praise be to God that even sins like David's can be forgiven through the Lord Jesus Christ. During the Welsh revivals, a well-known evangelist, after years of faithful ministry, became emotionally attached to another woman. He believed the Lord had told him that his wife would die and that he would marry this woman. Instead, in God's providence, the woman died. It's darkness, darkness, that this man thought what he thought, that he thought he had a word from God. He was deceived. Don't be naive. Don't give it a chance. If your right arm causes you to sin, and maybe that right arm represents a person in your life, Jesus says, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better you lose one of your members than your whole body, than my whole body be cast into hell. That's Jesus' counsel. So in conclusion, though much more could be said, I hope this will at least serve as a warning to help you avoid being naive. My goal was not to present a perfectly balanced message, but to warn you against falling into an emotional affair out of ignorance. However, as a pastor, I'm very mindful of the danger of imposing opinions not found in the Bible on a believer's conscience, and I don't want to fall into legalism. Still, I also want to be clear and specific enough for this message to have the right impact on you. So please listen to me. Do we need deep relationships with other believers? Absolutely. I'm not at all condemning that. But don't be naive to the fact that a man and a woman can cross a line. As Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2, he said, we don't want to be outwitted by Satan. We do not want to be unaware of his schemes. So be content, satisfied not in your marriage, in Christ. And then you and I will remain faithful. We must walk in humility and protect our relationship with Christ. And then that will protect our marriages and prevent us from falling to the subtle temptations of an emotional affair. To the lady who received the email at the beginning of this, what should she do? Expose the situation. Don't pursue it. Sin leads to death, and it will destroy everything it touches. Paul told those at Ephesus, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. If you expose the fact a torpedo is now in the water, though all looks well on the surface, there can be time to veer the ship away and avoid getting hit with greater damage than's already been done by the fact you got fired upon and there's a signal happening. So I'll be honest about this topic of emotional affairs and emotional impurity. Will you? Now you've been warned. You're not unaware. So by God's grace, walk near to Christ, guarding your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life.